Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated that you have joined the show today. If you want to call a friend or a neighbor, give them the number. Area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And before we start, let's have a few words of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We thank you for what it will do and will help someone else less fortunate than each and every one of us that may be listening right now, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to go with them and strengthen each and every person that tune in to this broadcast. I know it's a lot of the broadcasters they can be listening to at this time, but I thank you for each caller that come in or call in, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. I give you the praise today, and I give you the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, today our topic is, I know all of you have went through this here or going through it right now, especially in 2020. You want to go deeper with God. And this is the time, if you're not deep already, it's time to go deeper and deeper with God. To keep your relationship with the Lord fresh and vital over the long haul is not automatic. It requires forethought, effort, and constant attention. Even good things become routine. When the Apostle Paul wrote, and he had been a Christian for about 25 years. God had used him. He said, I press on so I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we give God the praise today and we give him the glory. So today we are talking on going deeper with God. And we're giving God the praise this morning and we're giving him the glory. Because he is truly, truly worthy to be praised. And when you're talking about going deeper with God, that means you're not satisfied where you're at now. You don't want to get complacent. You want to dig down into the scriptures. You want to talk to God. No matter what you are at spiritually, you should desire to go deeper with God. You know, to grow deeper with God, you need a holy dissatisfaction. Well, where you at? I'm asking God all the time, God, show me your glory. You know, there's a sense in which we should be content with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We have all that we need for life and godliness in him, but there are unfathomable riches in him that we need to explore. That's why we need to go deeper with God. Therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, God, let me know your ways that I may know you so that I might find favor in your sight. The Lord assured Moses that he would grant this request. But Moses wasn't contented with that. So he continued, I pray you, show me your glory. I know some of you all that's listening in today have said those very same words. This was not a prayer for material comfort or health. It wasn't a prayer for success in ministry. It was a prayer to know God more deeply. I want to ask Moses if I could, Moses, what more could you want? I know, I'm just imagining him asking God that, and God saying, Moses, what more could you want? You're the man who talked with God at the burning bush. You saw God do mighty miracles in Egypt. You saw him part the Red Sea. You seen manna and water from the rock. You saw God's glory when you and the seven elders of Israel went up on the mountain and ate and drank in God's presence. You spent, Moses, 40 days on the quaking cloud covering mountains where you met personally with God and received the Ten Commandments God often spoke with you face to face at the tent of meeting. Isn't that enough? Moses replied, no. You know, when you think about it, in reply to Moses' request, the Lord answered, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. You know, the Lord's name referred to all that he is and all that he does. It is the sum of his attributes and his action. But then the Lord qualified his reply. You cannot see my face. For no man can see my face and live. Then he told Moses, behold, there is a place by me. You shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by thee. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not and shall not be seen. You know, I was in a conversation with somebody just the other day, and we were speaking on this, on you could not see God's face and live. And as he passed, all you would see was the back of him. You could not see the front or his face. My, you know we serve a mighty holy God. You know the Lord promised both to cover Moses with his hand so that he would survive the experience and to reveal part of his glory to Moses. Face and back, a human term referring to God. Augustine, you know, the song Rock of Ages and Fanny Crosby, he highlighted my soul, come from these verses. Christ is the rock that followed Israel through the wilderness. While they refer to Christ as the rock from which the water flowed, it may still be valid to see God hiding Moses in Christ. From that vantage point, he got a glimpse of God's glory. And we ask God, God, show me your glory. You know, over in John 1 and 14, it declares, and the word came flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word dwelt. Literally, it's the tabernacle. Jesus was God's tabernacle pitched among us so that we could behold his glory. And as Jesus explained to Philip when he asked to see the Father, and he said, have I been so long with ye? Ye have not seen me? So by coming to know Jesus more deeply, we see more of God's glory. As you feed daily on God's word, ask him to reveal more and more of Christ to your soul. No matter how long you've been a Christian, with Paul and Moses, or holy dissatisfaction wherewith you are at, so that you press on for more, Lord. Show me your glory. You know, to go deeper with God, you need to understand his abundant goodness. You know, when Moses asked to see God's glory, the Lord did not give him a vision of his throne room with the impressive seraphim, as he later gave Israel, Isaiah, or of the false, scarce living creature with fire and lightning and spinning wheels, as he did with Ezekiel. You know, rather, the Lord gave Moses proportion of statements by his attributes. He said, in effect, okay, if you want to know me, see my glory, let me show you some of my attributes, especially as they relate to saving sinners. So first the Lord said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. You know, God's goodness is an attribute that underlines all that he is in his person and all that he does toward his creation. Out of his good essence flow good action. In his two, you know, you think about the existence and the attribute of God. The goodness of God with regard to God's relation to his creature. The goodness of God is that perfection of God whereby his delight in his work and is beneficial to them. You know, over in the Garden of Eden, Satan's first plot was to tempt Eve to doubt God's goodness. The serpent said, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He continued. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, God is trying to restrict you or restrain you. His commandments are denying something that would be good for your good. Eve took the bait, and Satan had been using the same tactic ever since. If he can get you to doubt God's goodness, you won't trust God. You will keep your distance because you want to be close to a God who is not good. Is that the way y'all want to be? I want to be close to God, and I'm going to listen to what he's saying. Satan especially used these tactics when you're going through a difficult trial in your life. He whispered, if God was really good, he wouldn't allow you to go through this. What kind of God would put his children through all of this? Now, just think about it. Didn't God go through and he was God? So why do you think we're not going to go through? You know, for Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for a momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So when you're going through trials, by faith, resist the devil's temptation to doubt the goodness of God. God has showed us in vision and dreams what is to come. And we know we're human, true enough, but we let Satan come in and say, oh, girl, I wouldn't believe in that if I was you. You know that's never going to come to pass. He didn't mean that for you. You know, you go to doubting God. But if God showed it to you, he told it to you, you better count on it. Take it for what God told you it is. You know, when the Lord passed by Moses as he was hiding in the cleft of the rock, he further proclaimed his goodness. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassion, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keep loving kindness for thousands who forgive iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Those verses are cited frequently in the Old Testament as a basis. You know, even as we pray, we're asking God to bless our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, third, fourth, and fifth generation. We say that in our prayers, you all. You know, God's goodness includes his compassion. Over in Psalms 3, 13 and 14, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord have compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our fame. He is mindful that we are but dust. The picture is that of a father who recognized that, you know, his child has reached his limit on a certain age. His difficulty behavior is because he is only 3, 2, or whatever. He's tired. He's hungry. So rather than lash out at his son, the father tenderly says, I know that you're tired and hungry. We're going to meet your need. But meanwhile, you need to be more cooperative. God deal with us as a compassion father. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 11. You know, God's goodness also includes his grace. More on this in a moment, but for now I'll say that his grace means that he shows us undeserved favor. We deserve his judgment for our sin, but he gives us forgiveness because of Christ's death on our behalf. Israel deserved that God disowned them as his people. You know, God's goodness means that he is slow to anger. Today we are talking about going deeper with God. He is patient. He doesn't yell at us every time we mess up. When our children mess up, what do? We scold them, we yell at them, we holler. But God don't do that to us. He doesn't say that God is never angry, but rather that he is slow to anger. Many times in the Bible, God angrily burned against his people. His anger burned against his people. But it was only when they repeatedly sin after many warnings. How many of you all have got warnings after warnings and you keep going back doing the same thing? Think about that. You know, we're talking about our four words we're using today on our tag words is forward, the goal, the prize, and the call. I'll turn it around. The call, the prize, the goal, and forward. He wants us to move forward with what he has told us to do. We have a goal that we have to attain. We have a prize that we want to reach and we want to get. And he has called us to do all three of those things. So we got to go deeper with God. You know, it's significant when God revealed his glimpse of his glory to Moses. To go deeper with God, you need to understand his sovereign grace. You know, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show compassion on whom I will show compassion. He didn't say some things. He said, I will be gracious to everyone and compassion to everyone. Rather, as a sovereign God, he gave grace to whom he will. And compassion to whom he will. And this is a first important in knowing who God is. You need to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul explained, so then it does not depend on the man who will are the main who run, but on God who have mercy. For the scripture said to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he had mercy on whom he desired, and he hardened whom he desired. He is sovereign, you all, indispensable, his grace and compassion. There is as much part of God as everything else. You must not leave it out. It means that our salvation is entirely all together. By the grace of God, it is not in any sense dependent on anything in it. It is indeed, in spite of us, it is entirely of God's own will. He is not under obligation to anybody. He goes on to acknowledge that we all do not like this or understand it, but we tend to fight against it. But he added, don't dodge the truth of God's sovereign grace, or you will miss a fundamental aspect of who he is. And you won't adequately understand the salvation that he has freely granted us in Jesus Christ. His sovereign grace is all about his glory. You'll find that in Ephesians 13 and 14. And it's at the heart of your assurance of salvation. You'll find in Romans 8, 29 through 39. You know, to go deeper with God, you need to understand his holiness, forgiveness, and justice. The Lord say that he forgave iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he would by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children, and on the grandchildren, to the third and fourth generation. You know, when you think about that, the Hebrew words translated iniquity, transgress, and sin have slightly different nuance. Iniquity means to turn aside from what is right. Transgression is a more defined violating of God's covenant. Sin is a general term for any moral failure. The above. But the Lord pulled up the three terms to show that no matter how great our sin may be, His grace is greater. Let me drink a little water. He is willing to forgive the chief of sinners. You'll find that in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. If he will repent and trust in Jesus Christ, probably most of us would like for the birth to stop there, but that's only the first part of what God said. He added, yet he will leave the guilty unpunished, visiting iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. This reflects God's holiness and justice. But remember, this is also a part of God's goodness. He would not be good if he was not absolutely holy. And he would be neither good nor holy if he was not just. He must impose the just payment on every sin. We recognize even with fallible human judge, suppose that a criminal killed family and stole their identity or whatever, supporting his drug habit, and the judge said, this poor man, he had a rough childhood. We need to be nice to him. The penalty is a week of community service. Try hard not to do this again. You will be outraged. You will rightly say, this judge is not good, and he is not just. You know, as the absolute holy, just judge of every person. God say, the wages of sin is death. He means eternal separation from him in the lake of fire, which is a difficult doctrine, too. But what about the last part of that verse? Is it unfair of God to visit the sins of the parents on children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation? To ask the question is to answer it. God is never unfair to anyone. He is perfectly just. Every person will be punished for his or her own sin. Let me say that again. Every person will be punished for his or her own sin. You're not going to get punished for somebody saying, you're going to get punished for the sins you have done. So you better go to God now and start repenting, going deeper with God. That won't meet you one day in digest ball. You know, some people say, if God is loving, how can he allow children to suffer abuse? You know, but the answer is not to remove God from the equation. The only remover of hope. The answer is to offer both sinful parents and sinful children the hope of the gospel. God freely forgives sinners who repent and trust in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation and a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. So God keeps loving kindness for thousands. Come to Christ to receive mercy, healing, and hope. Thus, to get deeper with God, you need a holy dissatisfaction wherewith you're at. You need to understand his abundant goodness, his sovereign grace, his holiness, his forgiveness, and justice. When you think of all of those, you can go deeper with God. So today our broadcast was Going Deeper with God. And our tag words today was forward. You're going forward. You have a goal. You want to retain the prize God has for you. He have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So when you think about how good your Father is to you, my. You can't help but want to go deeper in God. So today, let's go deeper with God and his word. Let's ask him to show us his glory, because he will do it. So that is our broadcast for today for 30 minutes. Please stop by next Wednesday. We'll have another exciting topic that we will talk about. We'll see what God gives us during the week. But remember those words, going deeper with God, to keep your relationship with the Lord fresh and vital over the long haul. It's not automatically. It requires forethought, effort, and constant attention. Even good things become routine. You already know, things you've been doing for 50 years, you're still doing. That's a routine. It's time out to break from routine and do some things. God want to do some new things with you. He want to take you to a new well. He want to take you by way of another route to show you something. Just because you've been had it in your mind, you've been doing it 10, 50, a 15 year, don't mean God didn't have something better for you. So today, dig deeper, go deeper with God, and ask him to show you his glory. Until next week, be blessed. If I had the tentacle of an octopus, I would hug each one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. So until next Wednesday, have a wonderful week, and go deeper in the word of God, with God, and he will show you some things that you never dreamed possible, that you will see going deeper into God, deeper into the spiritual realm, deeper into discernment, deeper into prophecy. Go deeper with God. And until next week, be blessed. Love each one of you all. Bye-bye.